If taken seriously, the first part of this gospel text is the end to any thinking that God punishes people in this life. I've never believed that, but I have been stunned too many times by people who think and say they got what they deserved, suggesting that some tragedy or disaster had God's punishing hand behind it. I remember 25 or 30 years ago when the AIDS epidemic was just beginning to come into our awareness, it was not uncommon to hear fundamentalist preachers saying, God's punishing them. I don't think so. And this gospel puts an end to that kind of thinking. But these righteous people come to Jesus suggesting that those Galileans, whom they look down upon, are being punished by what Pilate did to them. So Jesus turns the tables and kind of leaves them stuck, trapped in that thinking, when he then suggests that some very upright, nice folks in Jerusalem were killed because the temple tower at the gate of Siloam fell on them. Of course, they would have been at the temple or they wouldn't have been crushed by the tower. So he then throws it back in their face and sort of says, okay, what about this? If you think God punishes, then what did these folks in Jerusalem do? Disasters and catastrophes are never a sign of God's anger towards sinful people. Jesus says this is nonsense. Neither good fortune nor calamities are indicators of one's favor or disfavor with God. In an age to come, God will judge the hearts of every soul, regardless of their situation in life. In an age to come. With that in mind, the second part of this gospel begins to make some sense and convey the real powerful message to us all. I like to call this gospel the gospel of a second chance. We, today, are that fig tree. God's the owner of the vineyard. Jesus is the caretaker or the gardener who works with work and word among us, giving us, in a sense, a second chance, because there will be, in the age to come, a harvest, and we'd better be producing. Maybe there's a third part to this gospel being told or written here today. We are a people who are broken and too often barren. We have not produced fruits of justice and of peace. We have not satisfied the hungry of this world who hunger for dignity and respect, or for those who hunger for forgiveness and understanding, as well as maybe for clean water and food. We have not protected the vulnerable who want a chance for life. Tragedies and repeated struggles cut down our lives, then they leave us worn out, tired, and discouraged. But in spite of this, God continues to plant in our midst opportunities to start over, to try again, to rework things and to move beyond our hurt and our pain to make things right. This is the gospel revealed and proclaimed by these verses from Luke's gospel. There's no God of vengeance here. It's a God of mercy. A God of mercy who waits one more time for us to get it right. This is what we proclaim as Catholics in this year of mercy. Not only one more time for ourselves, but one more time is what we give others to get it right, to wait for conversion, to hope for what can happen by God's grace. The time will certainly come for judgment, and perhaps a time for punishment for those who have not seized the chance to start over, try again. But that time isn't here. This time is for something else. This time is for mercy. The fig tree story is an invitation to hope in the unlimited love and mercy of God. And the third part of this gospel, in a sense, is our time to discover again that spark of humanity within us that reflects the image of God. There's no point in having a God of mercy if there are not a people who are merciful as well. This is the God that Jesus has revealed. Made in his image, then, we become loving and compassionate human beings, able to realize life's harvest.